And while you're waiting, go ahead and turn to your Bibles. Isaiah chapter 55. Ah, Vicki, thank you very much. Pulling double duty today. I always say that if there are many testimonies on a Sunday, it's a good Sunday. And today, it's a good Sunday. So, praise the Lord. Don't worry if your testimony is too long or difficult to understand or in another language. It doesn't matter. Yeah, we want to hear your testimony. And if I have to cut my sermon short by 5, 10, 20 minutes, no problem. No problem. Your sermon is better than mine, guaranteed. So please be always feel welcome to share what God has shared with you or what's on your heart. But not only here, but again, I want to remind you that it is on you to find a brother or sister, a group of brothers or sisters to share, not just here, but throughout the week, to meet them, to pray with them, so that we're not just sharing here only, but with each other throughout the week. Okay, let's jump right in. I'm going to read the chapter, the whole chapter of Isaiah 55. I would ask you to follow along with me. I don't have it written for you. I'm going to do something different. So just follow along with me. Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah. Goju go show. Isaiah. Okay, here I go. Verse 1. Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Come, buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Verse 2, why spend money on what is not bread, and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Verse 3, give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. Verse 4, see, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you. Because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. Verse 6, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Verse 10, as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Verse 12, you will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands. Instead of the thorn bush will grow the pine tree, and instead of the briars the myrtle will grow. This will be for the Lord's renown, for an everlasting sign which will not be destroyed. Amen? Yeah, it's good to read the Word of God. Today I'm going to finish the series I began 3 weeks ago, the message of Isaiah. Today is chapter 55. The message of Isaiah is salvation. Isaiah, the name Isaiah itself means the salvation of God. And so I think Isaiah, his message is you can be saved. You will be saved. How is it that we will be saved? I want to go to that first part. It says, come, all you who are thirsty. That word come in the Hebrew is actually hoy. Hoy. Let's practice. Hoy. Yeah, it's very nice, isn't it? You have to say it from your belly. Hoy. And it's actually very similar to the Japanese word oi, right? And when Japanese say oi, what they're trying to do is trying to get your attention, especially you know when there's little children and they're running around going crazy, and I just say oi, and they freeze. I love that. I just love that. You know, it's power just in that one word oi. But God is doing the same thing with hoi. The word come is actually a word that means, hey, you! Hey, oi! I'm getting your attention. Why am I getting your attention? Well, for the Israelites, they were actually in a far-off land. They were in captivity in the land of Babylon, far to the north of their hometown, a long, long way from home. They were a desolate, conquered, depressed, destroyed people. And they were hurting. Their heads were to the ground. And their hearts were even lower. And so God was calling to them, getting their attention. Oi! Look, listen. I've got something to say to you. And let me stop right here and say, that word right there, come, that is grace. For God to say, listen to me, come. Just for Him to turn to you and to say, I've got something to say, that is His grace. God, who sits in heaven, enthroned, surrounded by angels, every moment in time, attending to His every need, they give Him 100% of all their attention. He doesn't need to call anybody. And yet, He calls to us in our state of hurt, desolation, depression, just to call us. That is grace. That is grace from God. What is grace? I want to just define it real quickly. Grace is just kindness, favor, friendship. That's grace. When somebody does something good to you, it's grace. When something good happens to you, it's grace. People who don't believe in God say that it's luck. Just luck, chance. But we who are believers, who believe that God is in control of not only the heavens, but also our lives, we don't believe in luck, we believe in grace. Okay. He says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. All you and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. This water is not for your mouth. It's the water of life for your soul. It's the water of cleansing for your conscience. It's the water of truth for your mind. It's the water that washes away your sin and your guilt. It's the water that replenishes and nourishes your dry and weary spirit. It is not water for your mouth. It is spiritual water. Because your body may not be thirsty, but it may be that your heart is dry. You may actually live in a comfortable life. You have a nice home, a decent job, nice-looking family. Your needs are cared for, and you have all that you need outside, but maybe on the inside, you are thirsty. You are thirsty for something more. Your soul is crying out, I'm living in the desert. I'm not in my hometown. I'm out there in captivity. Sin has me gripped. I'm in chains. And I know that there's something more for me in this life. God made me for more than just getting up and going to work and coming home. God made me for a purpose. And I'm thirsty for that. And Jesus says, yes. If that's you, that's great. Because man, have I got something for you. Jesus says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And how will they be filled? He says again, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scriptures have said, streams of living water will flow from within him. Come on, say it with me. Living water.
Living water.
Yes, like you believe it. Okay, living water. Whoever drinks the water I give him will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give him will be in him a spring of living water welling up to eternal life. If you're thirsty, if you're hungry for something, Jesus has what you need. And he invites you to come to him. Salvation is by grace. Grace from God. And that grace comes in the form of water. Spiritual water. But here's the great thing about it. It's free. It's free. It's free water. Free water. There's no such thing as free water in my life. I grew up in LA where the water is not free. You have to drink water that costs you at least a dollar for 2 liters. Actually, we have free water. I'll not get into that. But but you buy it. You buy it, but you don't pay for it. It's free, but you buy it. What does it say? You who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy without cost. How does that happen? How do you buy something that's free? Simple. Two things. You buy it with money that's not yours. It's not your money that you're buying it with. So it's free. Not only that, but you're buying something that's not physical, but spiritual. No amount of money that you give to the church, no amount of money that you can give to a temple or to a priest or anybody will give you that living water. Nothing will pay for living water except for what God gives. It's a gift of God. It's His grace. It's free. And the second reason you can't pay for it is because there's no possibility. There's no chance in you being able to pay for it. There's no way that you can give God enough for Him to give you even a drop of the living water. But it has been paid for you by someone else, and that is Jesus Christ. And that payment is described in chapter 53, if you're curious. There was a young man who fell in love with a nice girl, and he wanted to marry her, so he proposed to her. She said yes, so he was great. The problem is he was very poor. He had no money. And if anybody can relate to this, say amen. But in Japan, the problem is, well, not the problem, the custom is that in Japan, it's not the like in America, the girl's father pays for almost everything. And so the guy doesn't have to really worry about too much. He just has to wear his tuxedo and show up, you know, and that's it. But in Japan, the boy has to pay a lot of money. It's like he has to buy his wife. Okay, but this guy had no money. What is he going to do? Well, fortunately, the girl's parents were very kind. Very, very kind, and they were able to provide for a lot of things. And what they did was they said, don't worry about it. We've got some cash, and all the things that you need to prepare for your wedding, the money you need to buy furniture, the money you need to buy your electrical appliances, those types of things, we'll give that to you. Wow. So he and his fiance, they're out shopping, they're looking for things, and they don't have to worry about the price or anything like that. They've got the cash. But they're buying something with something that's not their money, and therefore it is free. It is a gift from their parents. God, in the same way, has given us spiritual money in Jesus Christ to buy His living water, the living water that satisfies our soul, the living water that we can never afford on our own, the living water He offers to us. Would you receive that living water? God says, come to the living water. Come to the living water, not water for your mouth, but water for your soul. And when you come, I'll give you living water. But it won't stop there. I'm going to give you more than just water. I've got a whole deal for you. The water is just the beginning. It cleanses you. It fills you. It satisfies you. But I'm going to make a deal for you that not only blesses you, but it will bless those around you. You see, God offered that water to Israel first. And not only to Israel, but to their king, David. He said, David, I'm going to make your throne last forever if you and your line can keep your part of the promise. Keep leading Israel to me, to God. And as Israel follows me, I will bless Israel. And I will not only bless Israel, I will bless the world through Israel. And that's known as the Davidic covenant. The Davidic covenant. His covenant or his deal with David to bless him as long as he led Israel in the right direction. And so it says there in verse 3, give ear and come to me. Hear me that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, nations that do not know you, will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. David made that promise, that deal with David. But the problem is, every king after David did not lead Israel closer to God. But every king after David led Israel further and further away from God. And so the covenant became null and void. But after this was written, about 700 years later, a new man came. He was a descendant of David, and he came to lead Israel back to God. But not just Israel this time, but anybody, all the people from all the nations back to God. And this covenant would no longer be the Davidic covenant, it would be the new covenant. And so, when the promise was just for David and the people of Israel, now it's through Christ, the descendant of David, and his people, the church. And the world would not only be blessed through Israel, but it would be blessed through the church. And so, the church's mission, the church's job, the church's identity is in its role to bless and call the nations, to call every person from every country, every tribe, and every tongue to come to the living water that God is offering to them through their Son, through God's Son, Jesus Christ. It's an everlasting, eternal covenant. It lasts forever. And so, the fulfillment of Psalm chapter 67 is found in that mission, that call. May God be gracious to us and bless us, make His face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on the earth, your salvation among all nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Hallelujah. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the people justly and guide the nations of the earth. The church is not just a symbol for the West. Christianity is not Western culture. It's not Western religion. Actually, it never even began in the West. It started in the East. The church is actually a worldwide, global family. It's like the Habakons. My family started in the Philippines. And then I moved to California. And then my cousins moved to Vancouver. My other cousins moved to London. And I've got an uncle who lived in Saudi Arabia. And I've got another cousin living in Hawaii. We span the globe. We are a worldwide family. That is the church. That is the church. I will summon nations that you know not. You're going to call them out. They're going to be drawn to you. It's a worldwide, eternal covenant. The church is to call people and say, come to the living waters. Find refreshment, find satisfaction for your soul in the grace of God. Because it is the grace of God that you need. But not only do you need the grace of God, what you need to make that grace work is to seek God through repentance. It says there, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, repent, and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, repent, and He will have mercy on him and to our God, for He will pardon freely. Freely. This is the heart of Isaiah's message. This is it. Salvation is yours by grace. And grace will activate once you humble yourself, admit to God your sin and pride, and turn away from your sin. Stop going to the places that you used to go to. Stop reading the magazines or the websites that you used to read that had nothing to do with God. Turn away. Let the wicked turn away from their ways. That means your actions and their thoughts. Grace is available. God is willing to give you all He has promised to give to you. But it will come more through repentance. Now, don't get it twisted. Don't get it mixed up. Don't get it mistaken. You can get grace without repentance. In fact, you do get grace without repentance. The fact that you get up and live and breathe and eat and work, wow. That is grace. That is grace. But God has so much more than that. He has another level of grace that He wants to reach everyone with, but it will not happen without repentance. Repentance activates grace. Repentance activates grace. There was a preacher, a very famous preacher in the Christian world. Preachers become like celebrities. It's not a good thing. But one preacher was driving down the highway, and he was just speeding down. And he gets caught by the police. He gets the ticket. And when you get a ticket from the police, you have to go to court to face the judge, and he will give you the judgment. So this preacher, pretty well-known preacher, he goes to the court, and the judge looks at his ticket and says, "How do you plead? Are you guilty or are you not guilty of this ticket, Mr. William Graham. And so William Graham, he says, "Your Honor, this stupid of me, I don't know what I was doing, very foolish and dangerous thing to be doing. I'm terribly sorry, I'm guilty, and I will pay the fine." And the judge says, "Okay, Mr. William Graham, your fine will be, you know, 50 so-and-so dollars, pay the jury or this man here, guilty." Billy Graham? Billy Graham, the Mr. Preacher, Billy Graham? Yes, that's me. I'm Billy Graham. Wow! We got Billy Graham! That's great! Well, forget the ticket, and he rips the ticket up. And he says, "Mr. Graham, tell you what, just wait a few hours, I'm going to be finished, we're going to dinner, I'll take you out." The judge takes this guy to a steakhouse. He says, "Dinner is on me, everything's free, it's grace." And Billy thought, yes, that's how God treats a person who repents, who admits he's guilty, and says, "Yes, Lord, I need forgiveness." And God will open up the gates of heaven and just bless you, take you to a whole nother level of grace. James says, "Come near to God, and He will come near to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and He will lift you up." That is the heart of the message of Isaiah. Salvation, the grace of God, is available to you. The living water that satisfies your soul is offered to anyone who would come to Jesus and repent of their sin. It's very simple. I wish I had time to go over the rest of this beautiful, beautiful chapter. It's one of the most awesome chapters I've read in a while. But we'll go ahead and stop there. Just one thing to note, if you want to look at that, the parallel passage in the New Testament to this chapter is Ephesians chapter 2. "But because of His great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages He might show the incomparable riches of His grace, expressed in His kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for Your Word. We believe in the power of Your Word. We believe in the goodness of Your grace. And Lord, as You would offer it to all of us, O God, give us the grace to receive it. And for these things we will thank You. In Jesus' name, Amen.